Okay.
What is your name?
Helen Vickery.
That's mine. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Michael Thompson is going to conduct your hearing at this time, so just hang on to the phone.
Okay.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Okay.
Good. Could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Helen Vickery, 315-523.
Okay. Excuse me. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left would be to your right is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be your hearing lead this morning. Also with us, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Westby. You can see Mr. Westby up on the screen now. Ms. Carrick, prior to your hearing today, you received and you signed a notification form that advised you of your board's hearing, of the hearing that you're having here today. You recall receiving and signing that form?
Yeah.
On that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself this morning?
Representing myself.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Ms. Carrick?
I do amend this time the board request to make an amendment to page 1 of the warrant. At the top of the page 1, under date of offense, there is an error in the date. The date of offense should read June 22nd, 2016.
June 22nd, 2016?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Ms. Carrick, did you understand what happened right on the warrant? They had the date of offense as being July 26th of 2015, when the actual date should be June 22nd of 2016, okay?
Okay.
Ms. Carrick, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board would make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board would make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes.
Okay. The first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about September 4th, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated September 4th, 2018, and September 4th, 2018 through September 10th, 2018. Is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you. Allegation number two states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about September 7th, 2018, as verbally directed on August 31st, 2018. Thus, the offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus she's absconding from supervision. Is that true or false?
True.
Okay. And then the final allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 230 South 12th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about September 7, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you. All right, then, well, based on the admission of Ms. Carrick, I'm going to move to find that she was delinquent, that she did violate the terms and conditions of her supervision, and that she may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second,
do you agree?
We're going to talk about that and we'll go on to phase two, okay? Okay, motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright. Agree, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal?
Agree.
Okay, Ms. Ms. Carroll, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you in your community supervision. We're going to start off phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then I'm going to go over some information with you in the warrant, give you the opportunity to present any information that you feel is relevant to the board, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Westby.
Ms. Kirk was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on April 20th, 2018. She was arrested October 10th, 2018 by Tempe PD on a new felony charge of possession of drug paraphernalia. She was back at DOC on December 21st, 2018 with adjusted CACD of March 21st, 2019, 33 abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, drug paraphernalia, two counts, each for 1 year. 2016, dangerous drug violation, 2.5 years. She has no prior convictions. This is her first term at DOC. CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. Her disciplinary is minimal. Other arrest, 2013, aggravated DUI, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. All other arrests on record result in charges that were either dismissed or not processed. Her community risk score is a G1B1. I do have stats and charges from Senior Parole Officer Underwood dated January 31st, 2019 that state the county attorney has not filed charges at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Ms. Carrick, I see that you were released on April 20th. You were released to community supervision and approved placement, with your sponsor, your uncle, Michael Cameron, at 4816 West Carson Street in Glendale. I know it looks like on May 23rd, the parole officer was contacted by phone by your uncle, who informed him that you were not abiding by his house rules, and it would be best if you found somewhere else to reside at. Then you were approved to reside at TLC at 9424 North 9th Avenue. Then it looks like on May 23rd, the parole officer spoke with you, spoke with the management at TLC, who confirmed that you had refused to commit to the 90-day program because you were going to get your apartment in 3 weeks to the facility, and refused to commit to the 90-day program because, again, it says that the apartment in 3 weeks, and then you left the facility. It looks like on May 24th, you were approved to reside at Traditions at 2429 West Vista Avenue, and then it looks like on June 7th, you received an email. The PO received an email that you were discharged from Tradition because you tested positive for methamphetamine. Then it looks like on June 7th, you were approved to reside at Cass Shelter, 230 South 12th Avenue. And then on September 7th, the PO was notified that you had left the property on August 10th and never returned to this date. So, Ms. Kang, what was going on when you were staying with your uncle while your uncle no longer wanted you to stay there?
Honestly, I don't really know. I guess he wanted me to be home at like 5 p.m. He was kind of telling me I was lazy. I felt like I wasn't. I felt like I was doing my classes, and it was really difficult for me. I was sick in the summertime. It's really hard for me to work. I have lupus. My counselor, Sage, was telling me I was doing good. My uncle was telling me I was doing bad. It was just really hard for me. I had just got out, you know what I mean? So then everything just... it was difficult, you know, and then I went to the, I got thrown in, he didn't even tell me anything. I just went to, I thought it was one of the dentists that afternoon, and I went to my parole, or my the parole office, and they're like, oh, you have to pick a halfway house, and they wouldn't even let me pick one, they just told me I had to go somewhere. So, like, that day was just crazy, you know? So I got thrown into a halfway house where I was in an area where I used to sell drugs at, and it was just all bad. I ended up using, I had told the parole officer that I was not doing good there and to please move me. He wouldn't move me. I told Sage Counseling that I wasn't doing good. I ended up using, that's when they put me in CAS. I did good at CAS for a really long time because obviously I wasn't anywhere that I had problems at. but CAS became very difficult for me also because it was hot. I was traveling a lot for work. I was working doubles. They were making me check in once a day. They kicked me out of level three because I didn't check in one night because I worked a double, and they put me in level one. And then I kept telling my parole officer that I needed to go somewhere else, but I hadn't saved up enough money yet because I was still only working like, I don't know, it was still part-time, but it was hard for me to work because I was in the hospital every other week. And I kind of gave up, and I ended up going to a friend and just enjoyed the holidays and came back in here thinking it was easier, and that was a mistake. I should have, it's very fortunate because I've learned now, and I have been sober since that one time I used meth, so that's good. It was just really difficult I felt like the pro wasn't helping me, they kept me at CAS and it was really hard, and then when the air conditioner broke at CAS, I couldn't do it. It was just really, really hot. I was in the hospital the whole time. Like, it was hard. And I apologize that I didn't, talk. I should have talked to the supervisor at the parole office instead of just leaving, but.
Well, where did you work at? It looked like you had several jobs, but.
I worked at a temp agency.
Where?
A temp agency. I worked for LaborMax.
Okay.
And I worked for Ameritemps. It was temp. Services. I was, because it was hard with the classes, but then I graduated classes and it was just so hot. And then with being a CAS, I have a bad back and it's hot and it was hard for me to sleep, so working anywhere else would have been hard to work, So then when I absconded, I didn't work because I was absconding, but I have a job at Bella Fresh. They told me to come back when, since my classes were done. I work extra hours there. The only reason I didn't work there anymore was because the classes were you have to work overtime, and I couldn't do it with the classes. And Bella Fresh is on 51st Avenue in Bevier, so when I leave, I'm going to go back and get a job there.
So why didn't you want to get into the 90-day program? And it appears you never did get your apartment. What happened?
Because I wasn't working full-time because CAS was very hard for me. That homeless shelter was really hard. Moving out of my uncle's, I didn't save money anymore because I was not working as much because I was now out of the hospital because it was so hot outside. And then traveling for work, it all became very hard. I will now, no doubt in my mind. That homeless shelter just screwed, man.
So
that was crazy.
So
So I came back so that I could just not,
So where were you at when you got arrested for the drug paraphernalia on the new felony? Where were you at when you got arrested by the police?
In Tempe?
Uh-huh. Yes. What were you doing?
I had seen old friends, but I wasn't even, I was traveling.
You were traveling? What do you mean you were traveling?
You mean you were traveling in October?
When you got arrested and taken back into custody, where were you at?
Oh, I didn't have, that wasn't somebody's car.
Okay.
I told them, that wasn't mine.
All right, so.
I didn't even know that person. That wasn't somebody else's car.
And so where were you?
I was getting a ride home.
And so, What happened? Did you get stopped by the police or what happened?
Yeah, we got stopped by the police. I was going home.
And who was this person? Where were you at? You said you didn't know the person?
No, I didn't know him at all. My friends, it was a friend's friend was giving a ride because I was going up north. Because we got stopped at country club, I was going north at country club. They were going south, so I was going to take a bus up north to the center where I was staying. To McKellips.
So you relapsed and you started back to using meth?
No, I wasn't using meth.
What were you using?
I wasn't using anything. I relapsed once in June or July, but I wasn't using.
Okay, well, didn't you test positive for meth at one time?
Yeah, back in the summertime, yeah. But I relapsed. They called it something else, but yeah, I didn't start using it again.
Okay.
I quit. I was going to meetings and stuff.
So for those 33 days, where did you stay at those 33 days that you were absconding?
I was staying in Mesa at a friend's house, with his dad.
Uh-huh.
He has cancer. He has a room. I was staying there.
Let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, Ms. Carey. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion?
No, thank you.
Okay. So the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. I need you to stay on the phone so that you can hear the discussion taking place, and then I'll get back with you when the board has made a decision, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Board's now on to discussion. Here's Ms. Carrick, at one point was doing okay. She moved out, she was staying with her uncle. She did try work, and she worked a couple of jobs. However, she stated that because she was at CAS and she was at level 3, she had a problem getting back and forth to a job because it was away from where she worked. She was actually working for a temporary agency. She did relapse at one point while she was out on parole. It was time she relapsed and did methamphetamine. She said that's the only time that she relapsed and she was doing good. The PO definitely appears to that. He was working with her, trying to work with her to put her into different programs. She started out at her uncle's place, then she went to TLC. And after she did TLC, they tried to put her in a 90-day program, in which she didn't want to go into that program because she said she was getting a partner. But according to Ms. Carey, she didn't get a partner because she was working full time. So. She has a release date of May 18th of 2019. I think it's going to be best for Ms. Carrick to go ahead and complete the rest of the time that she has left. And when she's released in May, she won't be on any community supervision or have to report to the PO. And I think that hopefully she'll be a productive citizen for that point and not have any more negative contact with law enforcement. That's my opinion. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, then I then move to revoke the community supervision of Ms. Carrick, find that she was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of her supervision, and had lapses about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself. Second by Mr. Quinones. Agree, Mr. Nero. Agree, Dr. Wright. Okay, Ms. Carrick, the board is voting to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on May 18th of 2019. At the time that you're released, you won't be on any parole or community supervision. Hope from that point forward that you will continue to be positive, not have any negative contacts with law enforcement, and be a successful citizen out there. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.